Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hey, welcome to show number 173. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm a little bummed out, but I know I'll make a recovery. After our draft, all the fans voted for you and Bobby, left me a little shy, but I think when it's all said and done, people will understand what I was going for.
Yeah, it's one of those things, the way I look at it. There are so many great attractions and restaurants and stores in Walt Disney World. It's really, you know, who knows who's going to like what. I mean, I guess it's the type of things you kind of put together. But everything that we drafted, pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, are beloved either attractions or resorts or whatever, and they each have their strengths and weaknesses. So there's no right or wrong answer. It's just all in personal preference. So, and to your point, we still have four rounds to go, so a lot can change by the time it's all said and done, like you said.
Actually, five, then.
Oh, okay.
We have 60 picks. We only did 10, so we still got a ways to go.
All right.
They'll be roaming around in my acres when it's all said and done. Because I'm totally happy. I have a vision of what I'm going for, and I know it's going to work out all in the end. My people were all at work this week that should have voted.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is just kind of getting some traction, and a lot of folks may not even understand what we're doing, but we're basically building our fictitious theme parks based on drafting resorts, restaurants, stores, and such down at Walt Disney World. So myself and you, Doug, and our good friend Bob over at All in WDW are partaking in this, and it's not going to run back to back to back. We did rounds 1 through 10 last week, and probably, I would guess, every 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, we will do you know, some more of the draft. So this will play out all during this summer and potentially even in the Labor Day. And when it's all said and done, then we'll have, I guess, a final vote from the listeners as to who, you know.
Who they want to shell their $100 out. What part first do they want to spend their $100 to go to?
Well, given it's fantasy draft and it's fictitious, I'm slashing my prices. So it's going to be about $20 a day to come to my park. So
there you go.
You know, I'm going to try. I know. I already got in trouble with one of our listeners. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter. She wasn't offended, but she tongue-in-cheek said that she had voted for me before she listened to the show. And then after she listened to the show, she wanted to retract her vote for me because I portrayed women as only wanting to shop. So
I told her I was all for her. I thought she should have took her vote back. I told her she could have given it to me if she wanted to.
Yeah, and I apologize. I don't remember exactly what listener it was, but I'll look it up and give you a shout out on the next show. But I'm a man, and I kind of love to shop, at least window shop anyway. So I wasn't trying to stereotype women as only being shoppers. As she pointed out, that women like attractions just as well, and I totally agree. And that wasn't my intent. I was just trying to offer up some premium shopping in my theme park by drafting the World of Disney store.
And to talk about more of our listeners, I want to thank Justin in Atlanta, Want to Go to WDW, and B&H Bagels for giving us reviews on iTunes. I really appreciate it, guys. We know it's a pain in the butt to go over there and do it. I wish they'd make it easier to give a review, don't you, Dan?
Yeah, I do, and I've said this before. I mean, you kind of gotta pull up the podcast. If you're in your iTunes feed, you just can't go to the feed. You gotta kind of go in and type in WDW Main Street and get to the main page where they list all the Disney podcasts, and you got to click on that, and then there's a thing that says reviews. So, yeah, it's a 3 or 4 or 5 click process, if you will, in order to get to the place where you can give a review. But again, I'll echo Doug's sentiments that they're very helpful to us in helping more people find us, and the more reviews we have, the more apt we're able to pop up when somebody types in Disney World podcast, what have you. So it just gives us the ability to grow, and like I always say, if you enjoy these shows at all, that's your way you can kind of give back to us by just taking a couple minutes of your time. So thank you for those that did do a review, and for those that are been thinking about it, if you could take the time to actually do it, we would be forever grateful.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We really appreciate it, and we'll give you a shout-out if you do.
Absolutely.
Do you want to hop on into the news, then?
Oh, yes. News, Disney World. Let's see here. What's going on down in the wonderful world of Disney? Star Wars weekends are still in full swing. I believe we're right in the middle of a one this weekend. What are we at, week five?
Week five, then.
Oh, wow. Time flies when you're zipping around the galaxy in one of those Star Tours vehicles, whatever they are.
Yeah, all I know is the voice of Yoda was down there. That's my last report I got. What about you?
To be honest, I don't even...
Yeah, the guy's name is Frank Oz. He makes his first he's making his first appearance at Star Wars weekend. So that was the big thing down there. The voice of Yoda actually showed up.
He could deliver my mail Monday morning, and I wouldn't even know who he is, but that's just me.
But, hey, hello, Dennis. How are you?
Yeah, who's this Disney geek? Get out of my yacht. Anyways, top floor opens at Disney Springs Orange parking lot garage, along with electric vehicle charging. This obviously is becoming more and more of an issue. I know where I work. Over the past couple years, we've had a lot of discussions, and we've added these electric vehicle charging stations so that those folks that have the hybrid cars or all electric cars can charge up and go about their way. So I guess it makes sense that Disney would be integrating these into their parking garages as well.
Absolutely. I'd like to just see them. I don't even know what they look like. I've seen one gas station locally that started to do it. They advertised for it, but I've never seen a garage or a big facility yet that's set up for the electric cars, but it's that's had to come because they keep pushing these things. I see more and more hybrids every day.
Right. And you can set them up a couple of different ways, but it's kind of like a parking meter or whatever. Some of them you can slide your debit card and you get either so many hours of charging time or whatever. So not that it's a money-making thing, but, you know, they're not just giving it away in most cases, although it could be free at Disney. I'm not sure, but you can set it up so that, you know, it at least offsets the cost of the electricity, if you will.
If it's free, I'll be shocked, but... We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Let us know, guys. If you got a report on it, reach out to us. Send us an email.
Yeah. So, anyways, this parking garage, I'm looking at a picture of it, and it looks pretty contemporary looking. I don't know if you saw it, Doug.
Yeah, but it's a nice looking garage.
Looks like it'd fit over at the Contemporary, actually, the way the outside of it is.
Maybe you ought to draft it next round.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not drafting a parking lot.
Come on, man. You can. Draft a garage, buddy.
Well, then again, if you want to go to the Disney Springs, you need some place to park, right?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe
that might be an attractive element to you, to my park or somebody's park. But anyways, another 600 cars can be parked here, and the top floor is one of the last major elements of the first Disney Springs parking garage to open. So
it's a big garage, man, 600 cars.
Yeah.
Per floor.
Oh, see, I should read. If I would only do my homework better, I would seem so much smarter than I am. At all. Operated by ChargePoint, the cost to charge is 35 cents per kilowatt hour with a minimum charge cost of $1.50. Like all ChargePoint stations, they are available on a first-come, first-served basis with payment via credit card or at the charge station. So... we are correct. It is not free.
No. Disney's even going to make money while people are off spending money.
Right.
After they charge them to park, now they're going to charge them to charge, and then they're going to charge them to eat.
Right. If you don't get back in time to take it off the charger, there's a surcharge probably for
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's see. Demolition of the former BET Sound Stage Club nearing completion ahead of the construction for the Edison. Mm-hmm. The Edison is another in a long line of restaurants that is set to open up down there, and we saw some pictures this week of the site, and boy, it really looks, wow, a lot of demo here.
But doesn't it seem like, it's weird, like all the buildings that were going down, like the BET Soundstage, I remember that the very first time I went down, because it was right next to the Neon Armadillo, remember that?
Yep, the country place.
Yep, and those bars were nice, but they weren't huge. But it seems like all these restaurants are going up look like monster buildings. Like, I don't get where the room's coming from, because the buildings they're removing and the buildings they're replacing them with look so much bigger, don't they?
Yeah, they do, I guess, when it gets wide open. But the Edison will actually take over the space of the Adventurers Club. And
as well.
That was kind of deceiving, too, because the facade was, you know, kind of ornate. But mm-hmm. once you got in there, it was pretty expansive. So I think that's part of it. That I think the footprint of the former Adventurers Club was actually bigger than you might have thought it was just walking by and looking at it from the outside.
Well, yeah, I know what you're talking about, because I was in there a couple times, because it used to be the Adventurers Club, the Bet Club, and then the Neon Armadillo. They were right in line with each other.
Right, right.
You know, so, I mean, I remember going in all the buildings, but the way it was designed before, they were bigger than they looked. It was, you know, they had that forced perspective again. They were scaled down, but they were actually bigger, because the way they ran through and out the back along the water.
Right, right. And they were multi-story, too, yeah. So that adds to it. They built up instead of, you know, sideways or widthwise, mm-hmm. if you will. So, but that's all good. I mean, this is one of the last phases, I think, or at least what we know of at this point, of eateries opening up down there, at least as far as major ones. I'm sure there'll be a lot of little more shops and kiosks and stuff like that, but you know, this is all good. They're moving, like I said, they're moving full speed ahead, and I got to believe by year's end, they should be pretty much done down there, just, you know, taking care of some minor stuff. But, you know, all those construction walls should be down, and I know they've taken some down already, and it looks a lot better just as far as not being claustrophobic. But, again, this is all good, and we're going to have our finished Disney Springs in the near future.
Yeah, I'm thinking by next spring it should be done.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And I've seen some aerial photos of the Disney Springs lately. And, you know, they'll take out all of those oil booms that are in the water to, you know, mm-hmm. contain any oil that might be spilled that comes from the construction sites. So it's going to look much more beautiful than it does now once all that stuff's out of there and it kind of just starts functioning as it was designed.
I can't wait. I mean, I'm looking forward to the STK Steakhouse. I'm looking forward to eating at the Boathouse. Chef Mary Mota's is still being built. I mean, there's going to be so many offerings down there now. You're not going to want to leave down there.
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be tough. If you want to try one or two of these on a typical week-long vacation, you're probably going to sacrifice or have to sacrifice a couple of your all-time favorites and do them, you know, on your next trip. Because you can only eat so much, I guess, right?
Absolutely. But I can't wait for my next stay at Riverside. I'll be going up and down to Sascoola. They're going to have to put an extra motor on that boat to keep towing me back and forth with all I eat.
Really, really.
They'll have to upgrade the outboard.
Yeah. Let's see. Speaking of things opening up, Vivolo Gelateria, the latest new offering at Disney Springs, is now opening. It's going to bring the taste of Italian gelato to the landing. Excuse me. Founded in Florence in 1932, Vivoli Gelateria promises authentic Italian gelato and baked goods made in-house in small batches. The Disney Springs location is the first storefront outside of Italy and only the second location within the USA, joining a kiosk location in New York City. So this is a pretty, you know, exclusive type place. So this is interesting. And looking at some of the pictures, it looks pretty pretty expansive in size. I mean, it looks bigger than the Boardwalk Bakery even to me.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty big. And they're going to have paninis. They're going to have all different kind of baked goods and stuff. I'm looking forward to this because I keep telling you when I move down there, I can't wait to be holding my wife's hand after dinner, going over to the park, going over to Epcot and grabbing some gelati at Italy. I can't wait to. That gives me another opportunity. I can do Disney Springs now and walk around and get some gelato.
Yeah, yeah, it gives you some options. And from the picture here, it looks like they have quite a few offerings. So this is good. I mean, you do have that place in Epcot, and now you'll have this place down at the Springs. So, yeah, yeah, it's going to become the gelato is comes in three cup sizes. Here's my Italian. Piccolo at $5, Media at $6, and Grande at $7. So for your gelato, that's your pricing structure. But that don't sound that bad, actually, to be honest with you.
Nah, get a large and split it with your honey.
Yeah, and like you said, all kinds of pastries and pies and custards and all kinds of stuff.
It'd be nice to grab a gelato, go sit on one of those nice tables outside along the water, and have a wonderful night. That's supposed to be – this is opening up directly across from the boathouse. Am I right?
Yes.
I think that's what it said. It's directly across from the boathouse. That would be good. If you don't like what's for dessert at the boathouse that night, you can run across and get some gelato.
There you go. So. Let's see here. We heard about this, or I think we mentioned it at least in passing on last week's news or notes. The Edison is to bring lavish Gothic, industrial Gothic style restaurant, bar, and nighttime destination to Disney Springs in 2016. This will be opening, like I just said, in 2016 in the Landing District of Disney Springs. It'll have a Gothic style restaurant, bar, and nighttime entertainment down there. And this has kind of a, looks to me like a big smokestack, and I believe they have some outdoor seating as well. It looks pretty awesome. At least the architecture looks pretty awesome to me.
I mean, it's going to be so awesome. I can't wait. It's going to be like having a whole new park without the rides in downtown now. Because us getting older, we don't need the rides. I'll be excited just about everything that's down there, just to roam around the stores and the new shop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be quite the thing, and kind of a mini Vegas, I guess, without the gambling and the slot machines. But as far as the restaurants and, you know, if they work some more entertainment into the, down here, which a lot of these restaurants are going to have, you know, bands or DJs, different things to, you know, it's not, they're not just going to be restaurants. So we'll see what they add as far as entertainment or potentially streetmosphere, excuse me, or stuff like that. So I'm sure they will make it a full experience, not only with dining and shopping, but also things to keep you occupied as you're walking around down there, or maybe going to a lounge within one of these restaurants. You know, it'll be a full service area, I guess, down at Disney Springs.
Yeah, I can't wait, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at some of this stuff, themed to the 1920s period, electric company power car and boasting 35-foot high ceilings, the Edison will feature a number of distinct spaces: the lab performance space, the Ember parlor, telegraph lounge, patent office, the Tesla lounge. I thought maybe that was the tester lounge, but it isn't. It's Tesla. The radio room and the waterfront patio. So there's going to be, you know, different themed, you know, rooms rooms within the restaurant. So again, this is all good. This is going to be pretty neat to check out once this place opens up.
Can't wait. Spend more money eating food at Disney World.
Exactly. A little bit of, not a little bit, actually a lot of news came out about the new Frozen attraction that is replacing Maelstrom over in the Norway Pavilion. Early in the week, there was the picture that was making its way around the internet that was linked to a Wall Street Journal article that had come out about the new Frozen attraction. And basically this picture, which anybody that listens to this show, I'm quite sure has seen this, or if you haven't, just Google new Frozen attraction and it will come up. But basically it showed the old Maelstrom, or one of the old Maelstrom boats, going by a scene with Elsa and Anna. And I don't remember if Olaf was in that scene. I don't think so.
No,
but it kind of just, yeah, it was an artist rendering. It wasn't anything official. And it was just something that they put out there to say that this attraction is coming. And it's going to be called Frozen Ever After. Is going to be the name of the attraction. At least that's the word on the street right now. So it looked pretty nice. I mean, I'm assuming these are all audio animatronics, and you know, it we'll see how it all comes out when it's all said and done. But, you know, it looks nice. I have no complaints about how it looks. If it looks anything like this artist rendering, it'd probably be pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. They're supposed to have Olaf, Sven, Elsa. They're the whole nine yards. It's going to tell the whole story. You're going to have the trolls, which you'll still have trolls then.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, no, dude, his parents were trolls, so you have to go see. You're going to have to at least have trolls on the ride.
Yeah, the rock trolls. Yeah, you're probably right.
You're going to have Grandpappy Troll right on there. He tells the story of Anna and Kristoff, how they met before moving up the lift hill along to find Olaf. Nice. So you're gonna have trolls on the ride. Hopefully they show a little bit in Norway. I'm looking forward to it. They said a lot of the animatronics are going to be introduce like the same ones that they have on the Seven Dwarf Mine Train.
Yeah, the new state-of-the-art ones with
with the light in the background and the whole
exactly
the lighted background and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it'll be. I'm sure it'll be awesome. No doubt in my mind that it's going to be awesome. Interesting. The last bullet in this article: ride time is about 4 minutes. So this will be one of those rides. Unless you have Fast Pass, you're going to wait an hour, 90 minutes for a 4 minute ride.
Yeah, you used to wait a half hour for a four-minute one at Maelstrom.
Worth every minute of it.
I hear you, buddy. Things have to move on, though.
Yeah, they don't have to. They choose to.
Oh, well, then I wish they had. They should bring back Wings of Man and Horizons. And
that would be awesome.
Take out Johnny Depp and remove everything. And, you know, just we should get paper tickets back, too.
That wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't mind that at all. moving right along here. Tony's Town Square Restaurant extending operating hours at the Magic Kingdom will be extending its operating hours from July 3rd, 2015. Currently, they serve lunch from 11:30 to 2:45, and then they offer dinner from 4:40 till close. Well, starting on July 3rd, they're just going to operate continuously once it opens in the morning at 11, with no break in between lunch and dinner. So, basically, you know, it's just going to extend its operating hours. Expect to see a single menu with the same items available throughout the day. So I don't know if that's going to pare down the menu or not. I know you eat here quite a bit, Doug. Was there a big difference between the lunch and the dinner menu that you can recall?
Not really. I mean, it's been a while since I've eaten lunch there. I've done quite a few dinners there more than lunch. We did one lunch and the menu wasn't much different that I can remember, but I'm sure they'll probably take favorites from the lunch and dinner menu and have it all day long. But it's a good thing to have. The little law in between there, I never understood why that closed for so many hours. Did you?
Right. No. I mean, I get it. I mean, they want to shift over and maybe do a little cleanup and, you know, prep the kitchen maybe a little bit differently for the dinner menu. So I do understand why restaurants do that. But as you know, there's such pressure on restaurants down in Disney World to begin with, and particularly in the Magic Kingdom. You know, a lot of people like to eat at those shoulder times or, you know, after, you know, mid-afternoon, you know, after lunch, but before dinner to kind of, you know, get away from the crowds, if you will. So this will be a good thing. You'll be able to, you know, if you want to dine here at Tony's, you'll have some extended time in which to do that.
Yeah, you get a I like that midday dining, so I think it's good. Like, you do that late lunch, early dinner, you can avoid crowds. You can be eating at different times from everybody else and then get to enjoy some of the rides if you go that way. Especially with us, without having the kids, me and Brenda eat when we want to eat.
You know? Right. Yeah, and, you know, it also opens up. I mean, we've done this, too. If you did want to have a snack or something later on at night or, you know, I don't know what it might be, but if you wanted a special snack, I mean, if you have a 6 p.m. dinner reservation, by the time you eat and have a drink and maybe have a dessert, I mean, you really don't have the room for a snack later on. So, you know, if you eat 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you will, you know, then that way maybe you're a little hungry come 8-10 o'clock at night, where you can enjoy a snack either at the, you know, Magic Kingdom or wherever you might be.
Yeah, I'm just happy. The more places there is to eat at the Magic Kingdom, the better, because it doesn't seem like they never have enough there, does it? Don't it seem like there's everybody talks about the studios not having options. I don't think the Magic Kingdom has enough sit down options to me.
No,
I think it should have more.
Yeah, they don't. And Be Our Guest went a long way in trying to address that, but I still think they could use two or three more. And we know that the I forget what they're calling it, but over there near the Jungle Cruise, they're adding a sit-down restaurant.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, they are taking steps to address this. It looks like we're going to get at least that one more restaurant over there by the Jungle Cruise that we know of at this point. And I wouldn't be surprised if we had one or two more open up over the next few years as well.
I hope so, because, I know there's the hidden gems. You got the palace there and, the Crystal Palace. You got a... There's certain ones you can go to. Like, I prefer the counter service at the Magic Kingdom over to sit-down restaurants.
Yeah, generally speaking, I agree with you. I mean, if you want a buffet or you're into a buffet, I mean, the Crystal Palace is awesome, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
But
the Plaza is the one I meant to say. The Plaza is the hidden gem. You know what I'm saying there at the end of Main Street on the right?
Yeah, and that's kind of, I look at that as a hybrid almost. It is a sit-down, but it's kind of table service, counter service type food. Sandwiches, soups, and obviously they have a big ice cream offering for desserts. But you're right, Doug, and it is a small place. It's limited seating, but it's an awesome little place, and I love going there. I wouldn't say that, but, it's not certainly not signature dining, and it's probably on the low end of, sit-down restaurants. But great sandwiches, I'd highly recommend the Plaza.
Like I said, I'm going to repeat myself again, but my favorite two places to eat, probably Tony's I like, is my favorite sit-down, which I know I'm against the grain on that with everybody else.
Right.
But my two favorite restaurants in the Magic Kingdom are actually Columbia Harbor House and Pecos Bill's.
Right, which are, counter service. But, those are two great ones, and, I eat there frequently, and they're very popular in the Disney community, so there's nothing wrong with that. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with, too, that, the Magic Kingdom has the most little kids, if you will. Not that there aren't little kids everywhere else on property, but, I mean, most of the time it's families with, younger kids. So the counter service kind of lends itself to that type of family, if you will, because, little kids have the patience of basically zero. So you want to kind of get in and get out quickly and on to the over to Dumbo or wherever you might be going. So, generally speaking, people don't want to sit down and have a 3-hour table service dining experience.
No, and it's like, and I'll hear on other shows where people complain about the studios with their dining as far as not enough options. I think per ride and per the crowd of the park, I think the studios have better options than the Magic Kingdom. I'll take the Brown Derby and 50s Prime Time over anything that's in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the studios does a good job with their, array of restaurants. That's probably one of the strong suits of that park right now.
Absolutely. Well, 100% I agree with you there. So you got anything else, buddy?
Frozen Fever, animated short to play at Disney's Hollywood Studios during Frozen Summer Fun. The animated short, Frozen Fever, will be playing as part of Frozen Summer Fun Live at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Each day from June 17th to September 7th, the ABC Sound Studio will be showing the short starting at 10 a.m. with shows twice per hour. So if you haven't seen that or you want to see that, you'll have the ability to do that at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
I know you're Frozen bound then.
Oh, I'm going to go see it if I'm there. Well, actually, we're going to miss it because we're there in October, but I'd go see it. I told you. Love Frozen.
I'm excited about anything coming Frozen as far as it just. I know people are getting frozened out, but it's a good thing. I can't get enough of Olaf or Sven myself. Those two I enjoy.
I'll definitely go see this, or if it's not playing when I go, I mean, I won't shy away from any Frozen attraction or offering or anything else. Love the movie. I'll go see it.
It's a good movie. You're the one told me to go see it. You've seen it before I did, actually.
Yeah, no, it's a great movie. Can't wait for part two. So,
where are we headed now? Is that the last bit of news?
That's all I have, unless you have a hidden gem that I overlooked.
No, I got nothing this week. Usually I like to hide something from you, but I don't have much. So what we're going to do next is we're going to give a quick little WDW Main Street dining review of the Wilderness Lodge. Sound like fun to you, Den?
I'm looking forward to the Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, let's eat, buddy. This is my resort. I drafted it, so I'm the owner of the hotel this week.
Okay.
So tell me what you enjoyed, then.
Direct all questions to Doug on this restaurant, this resort, I should say. Yeah, just a general overview. I mean, the Wilderness Lodge, I must say, I've never eaten at any of the restaurants. I take that back. I did eat at Roaring Fork a couple of trips ago. But this isn't a place that I've spent a lot of time at. I have been here, I don't know, maybe three or four times just to walk around the lobby and go in the stores and look at the restaurants and stuff. But we haven't really spent a lot of time here. They do have Disney Vacation Club here, so we could stay here if we chose to. But we just, we like other places better, so we've just never stayed here. So not that we won't in the future, but it's just not one of the on-property Disney resorts that we've, spent a lot of time at. But anyways.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite resorts. And as everybody knows, it's why I drafted it.
Oh, it's a beautiful resort. No doubt about that. So anyways, for breakfast, I'm going to go down to the Roaring Fork, which is on the bottom level, if you will, of this resort. It's almost down a corridor. If you're outside looking at the majestic water,
the geyser,
river,
the whole nine
the
yards.
Geyser, yeah. If you walk towards the Wilderness Lodge, it's on your right hand side. Little small place. I mean, if you kind of don't know where it is, you might have to search around for it. But there is signage, but not too hard to find. But anyways, I'm gonna get something real exciting, and I'm gonna go for the bounty platter, which is scrambled eggs, bacon, potatoes, pancake, biscuit, all for $9.99. How can you go wrong?
Oh, you can't. And that's the exact same thing I'm gonna have, Dan. We were on the fence. Also, what's very good here too is the breakfast croissant, the bacon, egg, and cheese with potato. They have garden breakfast flatbread, which is, I always enjoy I consider the flatbread and the pizza almost the same thing.
Right,
it's the first place I've ever had breakfast pizza. What about you?
Yeah, I've had it up here one time. We were flying out of the airport. What's his face? Guy Fieri there, the white
guy. Fieri, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The Food Network.
He had a kiosk at Logan Airport in Boston, so we had breakfast pizza. And you know what? I was a little skeptical going in, but it was delicious, actually. So
it's awesome. The very first place I ever had it was actually at Riverside.
Okay.
Yeah, the first few years we go down there. I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't gotten it in a few years, and I keep forgetting to look for it. But I really enjoyed that. I would get breakfast pizza quite a bit.
Well, anytime you can justify having pizza for breakfast, that's a win in my book.
Oh, I hear you. but this restaurant it's just your normal, as your normal fare. It isn't not a lot, but there's enough offerings for everybody. You got your bounty platter, you got breakfast croissant sandwich, you got garden breakfast with flatbread, which is seasonal vegetables, egg, and cheese for $9.79, which it's under $10. We're living large. Then you got your cereal, made to order yogurt parfait, which my wife, she gets that quite a bit. And then you got your pancakes and your waffles.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah, I mean, how I view this place, it's a mini food court. I mean, for a deluxe resort, I think it's a place where you can go and get something fairly quick. If you're up and at 'em in the morning and you got to catch a bus or you're trying to get to Rope Drop or something, I mean, this is a place where you can pop in. Like you said, they do offer the standard Disney fare with the bounty platter and the flatbread pizza, as you said. And you can get your cereals and yogurts and fruits or grab-and-go stuff. So this is a great place if you just want to, like I said, grab-and-go or quickly have a bowl of cereal or a cup of yogurt and a coffee or something like that, and then you're on your way.
Yeah, and they also have a little bakery items there. You got your sticky buns, your butter and chocolate croissants. You know, bagels and cream cheese, which is popular up here in Philadelphia, cream cheese. I know you get that. You get Philadelphia cream cheese in Boston, Den?
Yeah, we get Philadelphia cream cheese.
I'm just kidding.
It's very good.
I'm surprised they don't change the logo up there, how much you guys hate us down here in Philly. I'm surprised you don't put a Boston sticker on it.
I'm telling you, let's keep it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bring sports, you know what, but we move on. But Philly cream cheese is welcome here and enjoyed here regularly.
Don't bring sports into it.
Right.
We'll
right.
get in a roaring fork fight here. I might stab you with my fork.
You're going to stab me in the eye, are you?
Not the eye, in the butt.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to blind you, buddy. Hurt. I just want to let you know I was always there.
Okay.
Where are you going for lunch, my good friend?
All right. For lunch, I am going to go over to the Whispering Canyon Cafe. And what am I going to get? I'm going to get a slow smoked pork ribs with Weston slaw and I put CB here, and I have no idea what it is, with baked beans for $17.99. Let me see what I meant here. No, that's not it.
Well, with cucumber salad?
No,
slow-cooked pork sandwich is what you're getting?
Yeah, okay. It's served with Weston slaw, and CB was cowboy. Cowboy-style baked beans for $17.99. That's what I'm wanting.
Can't even read your own shorthand.
Yeah, that's terrible. a lot of good things on this menu. I mean, I went through and there was like three or four things that I definitely would like to try at some point. I know the All You Care to Eat in skillets there, they're kind of famous for this. Have you ever had one of the skillets?
I've never had one. I've seen them, but I've never had it. But it's a really, for $22, you got to eat it quite a bit to make your money worth, but it's very. It looked awesome.
Right. No, I know people that go here rave about these skillets, and you know, they got slow smoked pork ribs, barbecued pulled pork, roasted chicken, oak roasted beef strip loin, and Western style sausage, served with mashed Yukon potatoes, cowboy style baked beans, and corn on the cob. That's quite a lot of food to get in that skillet.
Absolutely. You go back. You keep loading up. Usually you grab your smoked pork ribs and then go back at your bar. You understand? You know what I mean. You grab whatever you want.
Yeah.
But they have some good food here. I mean, this is one of those places where you smell the barbecue as you're walking in.
Right.
What I would get here, because this is where, you know, I'm going to end up myself. Have you ever had the Land and Sea? You said you haven't eaten here before, but the Land and Sea Angus burger is really good. That comes with the chimichurri shrimp, jalapeno, habanero, and a chipotle ketchup, served with your choice of house-made Idaho potato chips, french fries, sweet potato fries, or cucumber salad, which I always go with the french fries. Have you ever had – do you like their house-made potato chips in any of those restaurants?
Yeah, I think we covered this when we were talking about the lobster roll over at the Columbia Harbor House. Yeah, they are kind of thick. I mean, and they can be chewy depending on how much they cook them. Not a big fan.
No, they're like biting cardboard to me. They're like too hard.
Yeah, I mean, they could, again, depending on how much they fry them, they can be real crispy, or they can – I've had them where they're
like
almost soggy.
They're like a poker chip. I mean, it's not – like, no, I don't mind a crispy potato chip, but I like it to crack as I'm biting on. I mean, literally, these – sometimes you got to gnaw through them. I feel like I'm eating a dog bone or something.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, they're not like a Lay's potato chip or something like that. They kind of – I think they're going for – trying to make them more substantial so that they're not quite a french fry, but not a potato chip either, if that makes any sense.
Nah, it makes sense, but I don't like them.
Well, I'm sure you could substitute that for something else if you really had issue with it.
No, I know you. I'm going to get my french fries. They offer any of the above. You get sweet potato fries, french fries, or those chips. So I'm going with the french fries.
There you go. You can do what you'd like.
There's quite – this restaurant has a little bit of everything. I mean, between the barbecue, you got your Mustang Sally grilled salmon BLT. You got a tuna melt and sourdough bread, slow-smoked pork ribs, hickory-smoked chicken quesadillas. I mean, there's a little bit of everybody here.
Yeah, it's a well-rounded menu. Like I said, I've never actually eaten here, but, you know, like you said, everything from burgers and fries to some stuff that I've never seen on any other menus anywhere on property. So I know when we get to talking about Artist Point here later on, they really have some unique items. But this menu is pretty diverse as well, and there's stuff, like I said, stuff you're not going to find anywhere else on property.
Like, and again, all these restaurants here, like I've eaten at this one in Artist Point, and mm-hmm. the thing of it is these restaurants and all these resorts are actually better than the sit-down restaurants in the Magic Kingdom. I mean, this is why I push for people to get on the boat or the monorail and go eat lunch or dinner at one of the resorts and then go back to the park.
Yeah, and I think getting back to my comments when we first started talking about the Wilderness Lodge in general, I've taken the boat over here and I've taken the boat to, you know, Hoop-Dee-Doo and stuff like that. But it is more difficult to get to than any of the monorail loop restaurants. You really got to make an effort. But if you enjoy the boats and you want to take a nice boat ride from the Magic Kingdom over to this Wilderness Lodge, you can do that. Or to the campground, like I said. So, but again, it takes a little bit more time and effort to do that. But if you're willing to do that, you can certainly experience some of these great restaurants they have over here.
Absolutely. And then you get to finish it all off with an apple caramel pie, which sounds really good. You know, and then you got your Wagon Wheels chocolate s'mores. I hope they're better than the s'mores. Have you ever had the s'mores over at Le Cellier?
No, I'm not a big s'mores fan, actually. I don't tend to get those.
Oh, and your favorite deal with the dining plan.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was one of those deals. We don't eat breakfast. I mean, breakfast. We don't eat dessert all the time. If we're not on the dining plan, we barely ever eat dessert. But right. When you're on the dining plan, it's great to try all this stuff because you got to take your dessert. And
right.
I love my meal. That last meal at Le Cellier was my most disappointing with the dining plan, but I did enjoy the food. I just didn't remember I told you I felt like we were kicked out of the restaurant. We were being rushed so much.
Being rushed. Yep, yep.
And we end up getting the s'mores this time, and it was like I was so disappointed because that's like their signature dessert, and they were not that good. I was expecting it to be something special, and it wasn't. So I hope their s'mores here are better. And then you got your seasonal cheesecakes and Whispering Canyon Camper style chocolate goofy cake, which sounds really good. And then they have a no sugar added dessert for my mother-in-law.
Yeah, I'm just looking way at the bottom here. This sounds interesting. Don't know that I'd get it. Paz Maple Shake. Tap 357 maple rye whiskey blended with vanilla ice cream.
Oh, man. Next trip, if we're down there together, Dan, we got to go get one of these.
Yeah, no, they have some interesting cocktails here, and then they
moonshine
get
moonshine margarita.
Yeah, Troy and Sons Platinum Moonshine, Saint Germain Elderflower Liqueur, fresh lime juice and agave nectar.
Well, we know what agave is after we know it's tequila.
That's right.
After talking to our good friend Irva La Cava Tequila.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So let me guess, you're going to Artist Point for dinner?
I'm going to the
great restaurant.
Right. Artist Point, again, never ate here. Had Rezzy's once or twice, never made it over there. But interesting, I'm going to go with what I'm going to get. For an appetizer, I'm going to go for the Jumbo Lump Crab Cake,
awesome.
Which is Dungeness Crab, Blue Crab, Alaskan Cod, Stone Ground Mustard, Remoulade, Crispy Slaw, and Smoked Bacon for $15. That jumped off the menu at me when I saw it.
You're going to love it. You're going to want to eat another round of them and – you're going to love your entree, but it's hard to give up on those crab cakes. They're really good.
No, maybe I'll get two and just call it a day, and that's that's my entree. But anyways, yeah, I'm going to get that for an appetizer, and then I'm going to stick to the seafood fare, and I'm going to go for the seared diver scallops, creamy fragola pasta with basil, blistered tomatoes, baby fennel, pancetta, and sofrito, if
or
that's
pancetta.
How you say that. Whatever. Where am I here? The scallops. Where'd I go here?
What?
Yeah. I'm still over at the whispering thing. Hold on.
You messed yourself all up.
Yeah, I did. Artist Point dinner. Hold on here. Yeah, so the lump crab cake, and then for my entree, I'm going to go with the sea diver. Scallops, $36, so it's not too bad for a Disney signature dining. This place is, I would consider, signature dining. The entrees are somewhat limited. I mean, you're eating here for dinner too, I assume?
Absolutely.
Okay, then I won't cover the menu. I'll wait and see what you chose from this menu. But
well, Brenda would go with, like she did, the cedar plank roasted king salmon, which is out of this world, with the sweet mashed potatoes, sweet potato mash, and then a house smoked bacon, winter vegetable, and an apple cider gastrique, which is $39. And this is their signature meal. It's like their salmon is like their favorite. I guess it's a house, like what people go there for. I'm going to have the grilled filet mignon with Yukon gold smeared red pearl onions, forest mushrooms, roasted chestnuts, wilted leafy greens, horseradish cream of Crabberet de Juice, which is $46, which here we go again with steaks on property. But this is a heck of a filet mignon. It's a very good steak. I thought about going to Buffalo, but every time I get freaked out because I'm an American Indian and I don't like to see the buffalo killed.
Yeah, yeah, that isn't the reason why I wouldn't get it. I mean, again, I'm just not that adventurous, and I wouldn't get it on those grounds at all, I guess. But I don't know. I've heard people that got it that rave about it.
It's awesome.
It's very good.
I have had buffalo before. It's one of the most popular things out right now because it's so high in protein and low in fat.
Right, right.
It's better for you than regular meat. Than cow meat, the regular, you know, filet mignon. But it's just something about the buffalo being killed. It's the same thing I talk about the lamb. I don't know. I feel bad for the buffalo.
Right, right.
I don't know what it is, but I would like to try this one day here because I know that and the salmon are the two things that are most popular on this menu.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people, you know, rave about this. And again, you know, I don't know why it is other than its location, but this isn't a restaurant or a resort for that matter, like I said, that just pops into my mind. If I'm, like I just did a few weeks back, if I'm sitting down and planning a typical 1 week or 10-day Disney trip and I start going through where I'm going to eat and ADRs, Wilderness Lodge never, ever, ever comes to my mind. And maybe that's a mistake on my part, but it's just not a place that I really seek out.
See, well, me and Brenda, we like to go over and we'll visit this lodge, maybe grab a snack or something, and we'll hop on the boat, head over to Magic Kingdom, and then come back. So this is a resort we like to visit. We don't stay there, you know what I mean? We haven't stayed in forever, but, you know, we love Riverside, but I like to go visit the other resorts to eat, like I tell all of our listeners. We like to take advantage of the resorts. I mean, because you can get most of the time you can't get seating. I mean, you got the few, like the California Grill. There's a couple restaurants that it's hard to, you have to make sure you book in advance. But most of the time at the hotel restaurants, you can get ADRs pretty much close to the day you want it.
Yeah, and that's an advantage of eating at the resorts because, you know, the majority of people are in the parks all day long or for, you know, most of their meals, if you will. So, yeah, you're right. You can, if you can't get an ADR at one of the primo places in the theme parks or even at Disney Springs, check out the resorts because, like you said, Doug, chances are you'll be able to snag something or just walk up.
Yeah, and it also seems like you aren't rushed as much when you eat at the resorts that you do, or downtown Disney as you are in the parks. You ever notice when it's real crowded in the parks, you always feel like you're rushed? For some reason, compared to when you're at a resort, you're more kicked back and relaxed.
Yeah, you're more kicked back, and all of the resorts, particularly the deluxe ones, they all have a nice lounge. So even if you had to wait an hour and 15 minutes, you could go grab a glass of wine or a beer or both or whatever and, you know, kind of just chit-chat and enjoy the surroundings of or the ambiance of the resort that you're at while you're waiting for your table to come up. So that's always an option as well.
Plus you get to see a beautiful resort. If you didn't stay there, you get to see what other ones have to offer. You can go over there, grab something to eat, and then explore the resort so you know if you want to stay there next time.
Exactly.
So, well, if that's going to be it for us then this week. That was fun dining review. I hope we help anybody planning on staying at the Wilderness Lodge.
So. Yeah. I enjoyed it, and I learned something about some of the offerings on the menu that I never really looked at too intensely. So, maybe I'll have to put this on my short list of getting over to Otter's Point or one of the other restaurants there and check it out.
Yeah, remember, the big thing for dessert over there at the Otter's Point is that Otter's Point cobbler. That's the other thing that everybody raves about. You know, so. But this was a lot of fun, guys. Go over and enjoy the Wilderness Lodge. And while you're there, maybe you hop on your laptop and head over to iTunes and give us a review. How's that, then?
2-for-1 special.
Yes. So, and yeah, leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter. And please follow along with us and give us your comments and your feedback about our first ever WDW Fantasy Parks draft, because we're enjoying – I'm really enjoying doing that, then. It's been a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, it's a little bit something different, and having to strategize on, you know, how you're going to build your park and what makes sense. It's kind of interesting, and it did generate some comments and feedback on Twitter and social media sites. So, you know, we're having fun doing it. We hope you guys are enjoying it. And if you want to scream at us and tell us we're making crazy picks or recommend picks for us, feel free to tweet us or Facebook us or whatever, and we'd be glad to hear your comments.
Yeah, join along in the fun. We're enjoying doing this because we get to talk about everything in the parks instead of the same thing. Yeah, everybody's talking about the boathouse or this. This way we get to cover everything in the parks. You're not going to hear many people talk about the Christmas shop in the Magic Kingdom, but we're going to very soon again.
I think so.
So I might draft it before you because I got to have the sleigh.
That's okay. I'll draft a store down at Downtown Disney, so I'll have all kinds of Christmas stuff.
There you go, buddy. But I can't wait to the next draft. I can't wait to the next show. You guys all have a safe and healthy week, and we will talk to you real soon. Talk to you later, Dan.
Later.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.